We've been talking about it through the day. Today is Bell Let's Talk Day. It is a big day in terms of recognizing and having the conversation about mental health. And joining us to talk about a number of things around mental health is our friend Dr. Steve Stein, founder and executive chairman, MultiHealth Systems, clinical psychologist, author of the book Heartiness. Dr. Stein, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be with you, Barb.
I don't know if we've ever really gotten into this when you've come on the show before. What exactly does MultiHealth Systems do?
So what we do is we develop psychological tests or assessments, and we work in three different areas. We do clinical assessments for mental health, as we're talking about. We do work in public safety in terms of looking at risk assessments of people coming in and out of prison. And we do talent assessment. We look at things like emotional intelligence and other areas in the workplace.
I was mentioning earlier tonight, and we've talked about this before, that you are a consultant for Survivor, is it, the reality show?
Actually, it's Big Brother
Big,
Canada.
Sorry.
And, several other shows, Bachelor, MasterChef Canada, a variety of shows, many different reality shows.
So that's interesting because, like, for instance, what kind of assessments would need to be done on people going on MasterChef?
Well, we, you know, in shows like that, we just want to make sure that it's safe for people, right? That there's no risk of any kind of mental health issues arising on the set. There's stress sometimes in some of these shows, more in some than others, obviously. But that's the one thing, is to make sure that the people are safe. And the other thing is to get a little bit of a picture of their personality and how different cast members may get along or not get along with each other.
You ever make it on camera?
Did I ever make it on camera?
Yeah.
One of the early seasons of Big Brother Canada, they caught me on camera doing
something.
Oh, that's
so funny. That's so cool. A couple of the things we wanted to talk to you about. How do people know if they really have a mental health issue and they really maybe have depression, or if they're just sort of feeling a temporary sadness?
Well, sadness, as you know, is pretty pretty common. We all feel sadness at various times over various things. But in order to feel depression, there's usually more involved. Sadness or extremely negative mood is one. The other is sort of a lack of pleasure or interest in doing things. And then you have to have at least five or more various symptoms that include things like difficulty sleeping, changes in your appetite, trouble concentrating, so that, you know, there's a number of these moods, and you have to have them every day for about 2 weeks. And probably one of the most important signs in terms of making a diagnosis is that it has to impair your functioning in some way. So it's got to get in the way of your being able to work or have good relationships with others. It's got to really impair your functioning.
In your experience with people who really are suffering from depression, is it one of those when you know, you know?
Not always.
Okay.
Some people can have a depression and, you know, they're just not into doing anything. They're listless. They're bad mood. They're not eating. But they don't really recognize it for what it is.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that being absolutely a part of a mental health issue. Now, I know that your company has been involved in assessments. Can you explain this? It's before and after March 2020 regarding the pandemic and the effect it's had on people.
Well, actually, we've been involved in assessments for about 36 years or so. So we've been doing it for a long time. But what we decided to do is there's a lot of talk, as you know, about the pandemic and the mental health effects of the pandemic. But, you know, what we've seen out there, the data isn't really solid data. People are doing very shallow surveys and so on. But we've been testing people with validated tests, and we decided to look at our database for the 9 months prior to COVID, before March, and 9 months after, and try and compare what we found. We have in our database 35,000 kids and adolescents who've been assessed across North America. Now, these are kids who've been either referred for help in their school system or to hospitals or mental health clinics, private practitioners. But it's one of the largest databases, and all these kids have been assessed with a tool called the Connors Behavior Rating Scale, which is a widely used scale for helping make diagnosis in these kids. So we decided to look at, you know, what's really going on out there? What changes can we really say with some validity in terms of what was going on prior to COVID hitting and what's happening after COVID hitting?
So what have you found?
What we found is between those two times, there has been an increase in the number of kids with depression, anxiety, and with academic difficulties.
Wow. Would you say that's a clear indication that one of the main priorities has to be getting kids back into some sort of regular routine of life?
It's very important for them to be involved in some kind of routines or being involved in something with purpose, something that they look forward to. The increase we see is between 6 and 7%. And some of it's, you know, within specific areas, like in depression. When we look at some of the specific items that we see being endorsed, we ask kids if they thought of hurting themselves. Now, that number went from 30% of these kids up to 36. So a 6% increase, if we look at a million kids, that's 60,000 kids. And in terms of kids thinking of doing it often, that went from 12% to 15%. That's a 3% increase. So you got 30,000 kids in a million who are at serious high risk for suicide.
Wow. Those are scary numbers. And I guess, is there anything parents can do to be on the lookout for symptoms?
Absolutely. And here's one of the other findings that was really interesting, because not only do we have self-reports from 35,000 kids, but we have parent reports and teacher reports. And what we found is that the parent and teacher reports didn't increase in the same way. So in other words, you know, it may not be surprising that teachers don't notice these things because they're more internal and the kids may not be in school and for all those reasons. But the parents aren't noticing it. So kids are feeling more depressed. There's significantly more of them thinking of hurting themselves. Hopelessness has gone up significantly after the pandemic. But we're not recognizing it. The parents and teachers aren't picking it up. So it's really important to talk to your kids and check out how they're feeling about some of these things.
Dr. Steven Stein, always great to have you on. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you, Barb.
Founder and executive chairman, MultiHealth Systems, clinical psychologist, author of the book Hardiness. The website is hardinessmindset.com.